It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
I wonder if you've ever studied the book of Ruth. Well, the book of Ruth is God's message of love. Well, I say that because as we read the book of Ruth in God's Word, we find that this God's message of love leads to the greatest love story ever told, and that is the birth of Christ. And as we look in this book, we see it's not only written for the Israelites, it was also written to all mankind to exhibit the never-ending love of God. It teaches that genuine love at times may require uncompromising sacrifice. Well, regardless of our lot in life, we can live according to the precepts of God. Genuine love and kindness will be rewarded, and God abundantly blesses those who seek to live obedient lives. Obedient living does not allow for accidents in God's plan. We see, as we study God's Word, we find that God extends mercy to the merciful, and we should follow God's admonition as found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Well, as we look at the book of Ruth, first of all, let me say that God is the author. God has written the complete Bible. And as we think of this, you say, well, he didn't pen it down. No, he used man. But he spoke. Man listened. And man not only listened to what God said, man wrote down the things that took place during the time they lived. Now, God is the author, and we need to always remember that as we study the Word of God. Well, I trust that you'll have your Bible open, if possible, at Ruth, in the book of Ruth. We're going to start with verse 1 of chapter 1. "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." We see in this verse the journey begins. The account begins with judges, when judges ruled, according to verse 1, and the judges ruled about 450 years. And in Acts chapter 13, verses 17 through 20, it says there, "The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet." Well, as we look at this, we look into the book of Judges as Ruth begins, and we're going into the book of Ruth now. As we study the Bible, we find certain things. And I find that there was a total of 13 judges during the time of the judges. Now, some people will disagree with that, but I have a list of them. In Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own sight." Well, the 13 judges, and we look in the book of Judges in chapter 2 and verse 14, it talks about the institution of judges. It says there, "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them." Well, then again, we look in Judges chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them." Well, I see, first of all, Othniel in Judges chapter 3. Ehud, Judges chapter 3 once again, and then Shamgar in Judges chapter 3, Deborah in Judges chapter 4, and Barak. We view him and Deborah together there. He was a judge, and we also see Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and Tola in Judges chapter 10, J.R. in Judges chapter 10, and Jephthah in Judges chapter 11 and verse 1, and Ibzan, Judges chapter 12, Elon, Judges chapter 12, Abdon, Judges chapter 12, and then finally, Samson in Judges chapter 13. Most people have heard of Samson. You say, why do I mention all of those judges? Because it's in God's Word. And we need to study all of God's Word. We don't want to take anything away or add anything that's not necessary there for understanding. And in fact, God gives us everything that we need to understand comparing Scripture with Scripture. Well, I suppose in all these judges, if you would ask someone to name a judge, for the most part, once again, they would name Samson. Well, we know the story about Samson and Delilah, how that she cut his hair and he lost his strength. But that's probably one of the most famous judges that anyone could name. And we can look at these 13 judges, and then look at ourselves and realize something, that God can use even us. You see, these fellows and this lady, Deborah, these people were not perfect. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Well, I see that not only do we look back and we see the judges involved coming into the book of Ruth, but we also see that we're speaking about real people. Once again, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." The account is real. And I want you to notice the word in verse 1 there, the word Moab. The Moabs were these descendants of Lot, I might say Moabites. Moab being the son of Lot and his older daughter. And of course, this was an incestuous relationship there, and you can read about that if you like, going back in the book of Genesis there and reading the account that took place between Lot and his daughter. Well, the book of Ruth is not a fable or a parable. God doesn't pull any punches. He lets us know exactly what's happening, and he doesn't sugarcoat anything. He lets us know what is exactly going on, and the first thing I see here, these are real people. As we look on, the book of Ruth is an actual account of a certain family, according to verse 1. It does not say this, "now once upon a time." It says, "now it came to pass." Well, not only do we see real people involved here, we ask this question. Why did this family leave Bethlehem, Judah? Again, we read in verse 1 that there was a famine, Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. And you see, they were out of the will of God. Judges chapter 21, verse 25 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." I do not believe the husband prayed about this very long. I believe he made a mistake. But later on, we're going to see how God turns this mistake into something wonderful. I might say this. The book of Ruth is God's message of love, and I've said that before, and it's a beautiful love story that you and I need to pay attention to. It is an account. It's not only the story, the beautiful love story, it is an actual account. Well, why did this family leave Bethlehem, Judah? Well, we're told there was a famine, and they were out of the will of God. Well, who left Bethlehem, Judah? According to the verse that we've looked at, verse 1, and the next verse, verse 2 of Ruth chapter 1, it says in verse 2, "And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there." Well, notice that God uses specific names here of those involved. Elimelech means my God is king. Naomi means the gracious or sweetness. And we see Mahlon, one of the sons, means weakly. And Chilion means pining or wasting. Well, Bethlehem Judah means the house of bread. And the family went to Moab. We see here, as we study the Word of God, the Moabites were descendants of Lot, and I've mentioned that. Moab was the son of Lot and his older daughter. Well, these people left, we're talking about Elimelech and his family now, these people left the land of the living and went into the land of the dead. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons." But we see in this verse, death. Elimelech's wages was death. In verse 4, it says, "And they took them wives." And this is speaking of the two sons now. "They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah." Now, I wouldn't say that it's Oprah, it's Orpah. Don't get those names confused. Orpah. And the name of the other, Ruth. "And they dwelled there about 10 years, speaking of the sons and the mother, Naomi. And we see taking place here a marriage, two marriages. Ruth was married to Mahlon, and you see that in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 10. And we see that Ruth means friend or companion. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased," we'll see who purchased later on, "I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." Well, let me say this. You see, I'm jumping ahead a little bit here because this is speaking of Boaz. And I've gone ahead and told you who it's speaking of here that would marry Ruth. It says that he did this, that the name of the dead, he married her because so the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You're witnesses this day. Well, we're going to look further in that later on. But Orpah was married to Chilion, and Orpah means fawn. You can read Ruth chapter 1 and verse 4 and Ruth chapter 4 and verse 9 in comparison with this. And now, Orpah, I believe, could also mean young one. We look at Ruth chapter 1 and verse 5, and it says, "And Mahlon and Chilion died." Boy, I tell you, the husband died, and now these two fellows died. It says they died, also both of them. "And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." In other words, they were gone. They left her. I want you to notice here that death has no mercy. Death takes the heirs in this verse, chapter 1 and verse 5. Notice here that Naomi makes the decision in verse 6. "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people, giving them bread." Well, now we see someone going God's way because we see that she's made a decision here. Naomi decides to leave Moab according to verse 6, and we look at verse 7. It says, "Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah." In other words, the land of the living. Now we're going to pick up here next time, and we're going to continue our study in the book of Ruth. And I trust that you will read this chapter, chapter 1, before we meet again on It's a Good Life. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.